Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. Today is Wednesday, the day we see how the Bible reading from yesterday changes and transforms our thinking. And yesterday we read the story of Jesus at a wedding, finding out that the couple who are throwing this lavish 7-day party have just run out of wine and are going to be very embarrassed in a culture that's all about hospitality. So Jesus' mother tries to get him to help. She says, Jesus, do something. Jesus says, no, it's not my time to go public with this side of my life. But she'll have no part of it. She looks to the servants and says, do whatever he says. He'll bail them out. Now, I asked you yesterday what you thought Jesus was up to. Why would he say no to this? Doesn't he care? Well, I think he does care about these people, but he also cares about a lot more. He is God in the flesh here on earth. He's got a big plan. He's got a big plan to transform the entire world, to proclaim the kingdom of God, and then to bring the kingdom of God into effect. And that plan is just barely beginning. He's just at stage one of going public with this plan. His miracles, his miraculous power are going to be used for a purpose. They're not supposed to be party tricks. They're for a purpose. They're to show people the kingdom of God. So when he preaches about the kingdom of God, they'll be able to see it happening. And the problem is, Jesus has just barely begun. He's just collected his disciples, hasn't really even taught them much. He hasn't been preaching to crowds really about what he's all about. He hasn't had a chance to proclaim the kingdom of God with his words, much less illustrate it with miracles. Now, helping people out of a big wedding fail would be a great way to showcase the kingdom of God, actually. He could show people something about the kingdom of God that he later would describe as a wedding feast. He could show them that this was the most generous wedding feast they'd ever seen. There are all kinds of ways this could support his teaching. The problem is simply that he hasn't taught anything yet. But Jesus kind of gets pushed into this, and so he finds a way. Maybe what he's trying to illustrate about the kingdom of God through this is the forgiveness and cleansing that's offered to people. Because he asks first for some dirty hand-washing vessels. The vessels he asks for are for hand washing. Not the cleanest things around, kind of dingy. But it's in those vessels that he plans to conduct a miracle. Here's the story.
6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now come from wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him.
So here we see the famous story of Jesus turning water into wine. And he does it in these vessels, these dingy hand-washing vessels. There's some symbolism here that Jesus can do incredible things through dirty, messed up people. He can turn that dingy hand-washing water into the best wine anybody's ever tasted. He asked for 6 of these big stone jugs, and each one of them would have been about 20 to 30 gallons. So, you know, times 6, you're looking at an awful lot of water. And then he tells them to bring it over to the steward. He doesn't wave his hands over it or anything like that. He tells them to bring it over to the head waiter. If they'd had kitchens like this, he probably would have gone to the commercial kitchen to find them. And the servants come to the head steward and they say, we found more wine. And I don't know if he would have reacted. He probably had a big reaction. I just don't know whether it would have been a reaction of rage. What are you people talking about? Where would you find wine? It's going to be garbage if it is. We're in a crisis here. Don't bother me. Maybe he reacted with anger, or maybe he reacted with laughter and joy at being bailed out of a sticky situation. Well, when the steward takes the wine, you know, you can imagine him. He knows wine, so he might sniff it. He might swish it around in the glass a little bit, and he tastes it. And then he bursts out, this is the best wine. Usually at a big party like this, people save the worst wine for the end, and you save the best wine for the end. And you can imagine him sending out that wine to all the guests. A joyful moment comes out of this moment of embarrassment. While the party goes on, the water has turned into wine, into good wine, better wine than they'd even had earlier in the party. We'll explore what this means for us a little bit tomorrow, but first, I just want you to stop and think about the connection to Jesus here. This water turning into wine, the water turned into far more than anybody expected, far better than anybody expected. And here's your question. Why do you think the wine was so good? And what does this tell us about Jesus and about our lives? Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.